Hey everyone, Midnight Dave here. Just wanted to let you know that the Midnight Romero Society now has a Patreon, which has some really great perks, including getting this podcast up to a week early, as well as exclusive access to a bunch of bonus episodes that we will be posting soon. So head over to patreon.com/Midnight Romero Society and please consider supporting. Every dollar helps, and we appreciate it. And with that, here's the podcast. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Midnight Cast. This is the official podcast, the one and only podcast of the Midnight Romero Society. I am Midnight Dave, and as always, I am joined by...
Jenny from the Grays.
Katron.
And Jetlook.
And this month, as we're recording this, it is the month of July, and that means it is our four-year anniversary as a society, as a group. Happy anniversary, everybody.
Oh, anniversary. Thank you. 4 years is a long time.
It is a long time, especially, you know, doing events and getting together with people, especially within the past year and a half. The year and a half has just been difficult in general, but just, you know, I said that backwards. In general, getting people together is difficult, never mind in pandemic times, right? Mm-hmm. So it's definitely an achievement, especially since we did a lot of great stuff this past year. We did Hollow Boogie, you know, our virtual Halloween celebration, and more importantly, on the main topic that we're going to brush on tonight will be our themed movie nights, which we, you know, did originally in person and then migrated toward virtually. For those of you that don't know, we have very wonky, fantastical themes that we all try to, it's a bit of a challenge. I take it as a challenge of, we draw three words from a pumpkin pail, a McDonald's pumpkin pail, if you remember those, and whatever random words come out, that is our theme, and they have graced us with such themes as hot acidic Italians, bonkers using kittens, haunted nautical champions, what
mechanical
else?
Mechanical dance slashers.
Mechanical dance slashers, yes, bony kung fu vampires, foreign rubber docks, and last but not least, 80s disco B movie.
Definitely not least.
Oh yeah, that one was really fun. And then we have one more down the pipeline, which was Urban Monkey Comedies. So yeah, we'll tell the story of how all of this fantastic themage came to be. You know, we'll talk about our favorites, how our, you know, nomination process, how we even start to choose to nominate movies for these weird themes, and what got us going on this in the first place. So I guess we'll start with a general question for everybody was, how did you first respond to this wonky system? I guess what were some of your favorite themes, favorite picks? And et cetera. Just a broad question. Whoever wants to start.
I could start, I guess.
All right.
So this is Jenny from the Grave. I originally was like, oh, that's so easy. And then I started thinking about it And I think we had a good space of time where we could, you know, write our words out. And then I was like, this is not so easy. Because there's just so many words in the world. And, you know, I don't know. It was very difficult to kind of write down just a handful of things that I would want other people to see and to see myself, you know. So, yeah, and I kind of wish I could go back in time and have changed stuff. And if we do it again, I have some like fantastic ideas. So it kind of like really got my brain juices going and thinking about just themes in general. Yeah.
Hi, this is Katron. I absolutely love this idea. I can't remember who started it, why we were like, let's do this, but this is 100% something that I could see myself being like, this is what we're going to do, everybody. Look how fun. I do this on my own with like Spotify playlists and things. Like, the more specific you get, the more ridiculous it will be. And I'm very much here for that. So I was very excited. I did think in the beginning that three words was much harder than two. I thought two would be better. But we stuck with three, and it ended up being a more challenging thing, because I could maybe think of something that was Italian and kittens, but Italian and kittens and acidic, then I'm like, how deep do I got to go to find this? But that's kind of part of the beauty. It pushed me to find even more obscure things and just really delve deep. And that's the kind of movies I really like anyway, is just weird stuff that I've never seen and that perhaps all of you hadn't seen, which is a tall order for some of the members of the Midnight Room Hair of Society. It's very difficult to find something that a whole bunch of us have not seen before that also fits the theme. And I think that was great. I loved it. Absolutely. Excited for more.
When I wrote my words down, when we all wrote our words, I chose words that I wanted to see. I totally tried to just know eventually that the stuff I wrote down would be picked, and I would, you know, hope that I would have a lot of good choices. I think my words were 80s and comedy, because some of my favorite member curated nights were the 80s comedy, you know, gems, like the pirate movie and stuff like that. So I wanted, you know, to do more of that because I enjoyed it. And I agree that the two words, like there were some night, you know, some events when I went to pick, like, what did we have? We had 80s disco B movie. 80s B movie would have been it would have been a plethora of choices.
Right.
But 80s disco B movie, like it made you really dig for movies. So yeah, I think ended up with three words. I think that ended up being more of a challenge and more of a project for us. And it ended up being more fun. And we had less to narrow down in our own selections. You know, 80s B movie, we could have given 100 nominations. But 80s disco, I mean, how many discos were put out in the 80s? You know, that made things a lot more difficult. So I enjoyed the challenge of that.
So did we only have two words is my question? Because I was trying to remember a third and I couldn't. Did we only write two?
I think we submitted two, but then we chose three.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes more sense.
I can only remember one. I did nautical and I can't remember the other one.
Was yours Italian? Because we couldn't figure out who nominated Italian.
It wasn't me. My two words were hot and haunted.
Hey.
And I did ask Coop. His words were champion and rubber.
I must have done Italian. I didn't remember. I was like, I know I did nautical, but the other one slipped my mind. Oh, man. We got double mixed, K-tron. Sorry. We got Italians and acidic. Or you said you did acidic?
No. Nope. I did.
Oh, no. Hot.
Hot and haunted.
Yeah. And haunted nautical.
So I didn't think like Mike until we started doing these that like I should have maybe gone with something that I wanted to see. I just went with words that I thought would be funny to interpret.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of my work. But then later as we were going, I was like, maybe I should have prompted something else.
Well, I liked that people didn't. I picked just genres, and I'm glad that other people didn't, because it really changed the way we did things.
Because it wasn't specified. Yeah. Just pick a word. It could have been anything, really. And some people chose some weird ones. So, and that made the challenges even better and bigger. And we had to dig a little deeper. And it was hard because you could, and there was also no strict ruling to how the words have to be in the movies or have to affect the movies. So you could literally pull anything out, you know, as long as it made sense to you and as long as, you know, it fit the bill for you and you could explain it.
Yeah, Docs was a good one, because to find a documentary of the other words wasn't going to happen, but to use it as Doctor, it worked out perfect.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't want to like rush in and say I'll take all the credit, but it was my initial idea because we had a series when we first started MRS, right? It was due to the passing of George Romero, right? Mm-hmm. We had worked with him at Rock and Shock, some of us. All of us really admired his work and his menage for filmmaking. So, it originally started as like two tribute nights where we watched some of his lesser known work. I think our first meeting, we watched Martin and Knight Riders, which are just like, they're not often, in the grand pantheon of Romero films, right? Everyone goes with the Dead trilogy, but those are like solid movies. Those are great. And it was a great way to like start off this, society where, we're not going for the big titles. We're going for the smaller, obscure ones that are great in their own way and super entertaining.
Yeah. I just remember Knight Riders. I had never seen it before and I fell in love with it. And I also looked around the room. We had a pretty good turnout for that one, right?
Yeah, that was one of our best turnouts.
And I remember looking around the room and everybody's like, they were just like into it. Mm-hmm. And people you would not think would like that movie. And I was like, this is awesome. Like, this is going to work out just great.
Yeah, actually, in all irony, like that was our best turnout before the meeting where we took everyone's words, right? Mm-hmm. Because leading up to the Pumpkin Pails, we had member curations, right? Because we were kind of doing loosey-goosey themes, just throwing ideas at the wall. And we kind of found that there's a long stretch where certain people were not getting their movies picked, some people just had a wider library, let's say, or what have you, whatever the circumstances might be. So I thought it'd be cool to give everyone a night, they have a double feature and that's what we watched. And whoever showed up to that one particular meeting got their name, applied to the list of curations. And I think what we did was we put them in another pail, we shook them up, and then we tossed them across the room. And the closest one to us was the first one, and then the second closest would be the second one, and so on and so forth.
I completely forgot about that part.
That was Mr. Professor Cheese's idea, we will call him.
That makes sense. That seems like something he would say.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think for the most part, I think there was one substitution, but we held pretty strict to that. Ironically, Mr. Cheese's night was delayed 3 times because of blizzards.
That's right.
Good old New England.
That was really fun too, though. Like, just in general, like the whole Midnight Romero Society thing, if anybody asks what we are, I just say, oh, it's my film club with my friends, or a film society. And it's sort of like giving a reason to get together. I mean, you can say, friends, come over and watch a movie, and they go, oh, well, I had a long day. But if you have a scheduled set thing to do that takes a whole bunch of people to get together, you feel more socially obligated to go, I think. Mm-hmm. So having MRS as not only to get together and watch movies, share movies, but also like kind of forces us to get together and actually show up to do stuff is great.
And to think about movies, to talk about movies.
There's some movies that are just better in a group setting.
Pirates.
And yeah, we've gone whole hog as we started with, just curating for Mr. Romero himself, and then a few other just random ones, and then the member curations were great too. You learn a lot about a person when you tell them, pick 2 movies, we all have to watch it and see what they pick.
I think I did pick Italian because I knew so many Italian horror movies. I was like, oh, I got Italian horror movies coming out of my ears. And then what was the Italian, hot acidic Italians, yes. that just yeah. like, that was perfect.
Yeah.
It was like a perfect triple word. Like, oh, so many ideas came to mind. That was an easy one, I feel like.
That one.
I'm jumping ahead, sorry.
No, it's fine. I mean, casual, right? But what's great about the hot acidic Italian was that was
your poster.
It was our third one. So we're still kind of feeling this out. And I remember when we picked Italian, right? Because we picked those words in order. Mm-hmm. Right? I had three different people. I gave them the pail and it was like hot. Okay. How about you, Vinny? Acidic. And then I went to Wendy and then she picks it and she just laughs. And then she goes, Italian. And it's just like, yep. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that we can't really visually give people, maybe I'll put in the thumbnail for the podcast for this episode, is the visual element to all of that, where we make posters for all of these. And that one, I specifically wanted it to be a combination of a cheesy Italian pizza joint and a 900 number advertisement. So I take particular pride for that one. I can't like put it on a resume, but it doesn't matter. That's kind of the best part about it, really.
That was my favorite theme, hot acidic Italians, because you seemed so uncomfortable saying it, talking about it, putting the like sexy statues or whatever you used on the like everything about it. You were just like, oh God, I'm so sorry. Yeah. And my word was hot, so I was like, yes, this is exactly what I was hoping for. This is great. And the movies that we watched, what were those? Paganini Horror.
Conquest.
Yeah.
Oh, what a weird
movie. Lucia Fulci's
Conquest. That was my pick, I think, was Conquest.
Mm-hmm. Mine was Lucia Paganini Horror, actually.
And Paganini Horror, yeah, that was awesome. I like that one. I've never seen that before either. And I was like, how have I never seen this?
I like how like halfway through that movie, we figured out that the song that they were singing was a John Bon Jovi song with different lyrics, but it was the exact same melody and rhythm.
I don't think those two movies could be any different.
Seriously. But they both have hot acidic
Italian. High fantasy epic and Paganini Horror. Like,
that was like... pop stars filming a music video in a haunted castle where the composer Paganini once lived, and maybe Paganini sold his soul to the devil. It was a very convoluted plot.
I guess there was a lot of glam.
Yeah.
So much glam.
Very hot Italian acidic. So.
And I hadn't even seen that when I brought it. I bought the movie. Wow. And then knew that the theme was coming up. So I was like, oh, I don't want to watch it yet. I want to like experience it first. I don't always want to watch it twice that close, so yeah. I went in like not even watching it, somehow sold it to the entire room that we should watch this movie. And then we did, so that was great.
I don't know if anybody else did anything like that. Did you do that for any other movies not watched?
I think there were maybe one or two where I was like, oh, I haven't seen this yet, but
okay.
I'm
see, that's kind of a cool experience too, because you're like, we're all going into this blind, it could be awful. Yeah.
I chose a couple that I hadn't seen only because I had such a hard time with the theme. What was that? Bony Kung Fu Vampires.
Oh yeah.
I had a massive problem finding movies to fit all three words. So I ended up just finding movies through research rather than my own collection. And here, Dave, these are my selections. They're on YouTube if you need to play them. But yeah, and I was very happy that neither of those got picked, because the quality was terrible and the movies weren't that great either.
That was a hard one.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I love that theme. That was my I love Kung Fu. I love Kung Fu.
There's only a handful of vampire kung fu movies, though. You really have to dive deep.
But it turned out to be one of my favorite nights for what we ended up showing. But the actual choosing process was very difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the quality because one of mine got picked, which was Kung Fu from Beyond the Grave. And that is only in like a VHS quality. But that is a crowd pleaser if in a crowd. The scene where he just is like, I summon Dracula, and he whips out American money, and then Dracula just descends to fight all of the Chinese, I forget the word that starts with the J for the jumping vampire.
Jiangshi,
there you go. Yeah, he fights the Jiangshi off. It's so ridiculous. It's great.
Vampire Circus was filled with hot acidic Italians.
It really was. I could have picked that. That was my pick. I could have picked that for a few different themes, but that was in my hold pile, and I was waiting, and I was like, this is beautiful. This works. There wasn't like kung fu per se. There was fighting and there was acrobatics. So I kind of, I slipped that in there, but I'm glad everybody liked it, because it's a treasure of a movie.
Yeah. I mean, thanks to Joe Bob, everything is kind of foo, right? You know, you had your vampire foo, you had your wizard foo, your gun foo.
The two that I chose for bony kung fu vampires was From Dusk Till Dawn, mm-hmm. which bony, well, it's set in an exotic dance place in Mexico, so there's plenty of bones happening. The vampires, obviously, they're the ones who run the joint, and for kung fu, there was choreographed fighting in that, so I counted that. And my other pick was Vamp, the 1986 movie.
I've always wanted to see that.
So that one, it's another vampire movie set in an exotic dance house.
Oh!
But this one, for the kung fu, I just counted, there's a really great dance sequence done by Grace Jones on a chair designed by Keith Haring, and it's awesome. That's like Tai Chi, but nude and painted like a zebra vampire.
I have this queued up on YouTube for after. So
it's on our server now, yeah. So we can watch it whenever.
I need to see Grace Jones.
I was disappointed that neither one of those got picked, because I felt like I did such a good job of finding something that fit, but what we got was wonderful, and I couldn't have disrupted that. If I were to do my own, that would be a nice theme night for those two movies. They're both vampire, exotic awesome. Dancing films.
It's hard too, because we vote for our movies, and some of them really get so close to being picked, and like there's like one vote off or something, and it kind of it almost makes it, but not quite.
Yeah, I think now's a good time to explain the process with which we choose the movies. Yes. So going off of the chronology of this, we had member curation, and then it was like the last day of it, right? I think it was Jenny, you were the last one to pick. Yep. And it was Tank Girl and what was that weird kids movie?
Delicatessen?
Was it Delicatessen? Oh, yeah, because you had the Cannibal double feature, right?
Cannibal.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So it was Delicatessen with Tank Girl? Or did you nominate Tank Girl for something else?
It was Tank Girl. I remember Tank Girl.
I mean, I know we watched Tank Girl. Did we watch that earlier when we were just nominating things?
Oh, maybe.
Possibly.
Oh, man.
Having a brain fart. What was my other cannibal movie? I know it was Delicatessen and
did we watch Eating Raoul?
That's it. Yes, it was Eating Raoul.
I don't really remember what I nominated.
Man, what a great
yeah,
combo.
Yeah, that was a good combo.
That was that night's double feature. But so that was the end. It was coming up, and I had this idea, and I actually have my post that I posted in the group. Because, you know, like it or not, we use Facebook to communicate because everyone's got one. So it's like the most convenient thing. So in the event page, I put, we'd like everyone to think of two words which describe film topics and themes that you would like to see. Bring these words to the next meeting this Sunday. and we'll use them to vote for our next theme.
Mm.
So very broad.
How did you think of that?
So I'm a weirdo. And
we're all weird here.
But I'm in good company. But I had this old art project of mine where I texted people at 2 a.m, right? And I said, tell me the first thing that comes to your mind. And I did it to about 20 people. And what I would do is I would write down their response. And this was out of the blue. They didn't know I was doing this. And then I would take a picture of myself with the with like a index card with the quote that they essentially sent me. And then I sent it back to them and also put it on Facebook. And the response was actually really positive. Like people were like, oh, this is what you were doing. Okay, I get it now. And the idea was just like unadulterated filter, right? You know, you get something at 2 a.m, you're just either going to play along with something silly, be frustrated, or anything in between, right? So it's like the, so that it's a weird concept, but people really dug it. So I had that in my mind, and I was thinking, well, what if we did something to like these movie themes? Like we have like this unadulterated collective consciousness, right? If it's one thing that we learned from the curation, Katron, you said this the best, where you really start to learn about a person, right? But what if we really start to learn about a group? And so we all just kind of, you know, no filter, just think of like two words that really just describe our, you know, our tastes in film or our preferences in film, and then just mix them all together in another unfiltered, unbiased way, and, you know, pull them out at random and then see what happens. So that was my general thinking, was just, let's just do something wild and see what happens and see how long this goes for. And it's gone the full yard. Because now we're out of words. I have a few ideas that I'll share towards the end of this about how we'll resolve that. But that was my initial thinking.
Next?
Yeah, what dun, is dun, next?
Dun.
So what ended up happening was, and that was the big reveal, right? That was when we teased people about something, but we didn't tell them, and they all thought Jenny was pregnant, which ended up not being true. it was just a new logo, and that we were going to make a website and start printing t-shirts and stuff like that. It was our first step into the public sphere, if you will. So it was a really big meeting. And
why is that your first guess? Come on.
Yeah, it was odd how many people were like.
I will tell you, because I asked Dave if this was a personal thing or an MRS thing, and he was really vague, and he said a little of both, and so that's how that got started.
I mean,
you put your foot in your mouth, kid.
MRS is personal to me, though. I mean, so it is kind of both. If you tell me, if you break it down like that, you know, the Venn diagram of personal and MRS is a circle. For me, right? It's one in the same.
Right. Well,
so it's not gonna be I can't delineate like that. It's not a binary in my mind.
In general, you get really vague about a big life change and you're at a certain age, and people are gonna be like, oh, well, okay. What are the two things that this usually means?
Yep, we're getting married in August, and I already know the question will be popped probably 500 times that day.
Yeah, just, well, then you just tell them, well, you know what? Here's what the next MRS meeting will be about.
That's what we get down the pipeline. So that was the initial thing, right? And then I think, you know, I had the pumpkin pail that we used for the curation. And then, you know, I just brought it back and just shook it up. And then Haunted Nautical Champions was the first one to pop up. I don't know how we decided on three.
I think it was, you know, a debate. I was very hard line at two, and I think you were very hard line at three, and then it just stayed at three. So
yeah, I mean, I can see myself wanting to do three because for all the reasons everyone mentioned, it's more difficult.
It's way more difficult. Yes. Yeah, yeah. I was just looking at some of them being like, how different would it have been if it was just Haunted Nautical, not Haunted Nautical Champions, mm-hmm. yeah. or, you know, Dance Slasher, not Mechanical Dance Slasher. Like, mm-hmm. it really right. changes the game quite sporadically. So.
Well, here's the thing, right? And going back deeper into the history, after the Romero tributes, right, we would have these pretty, you know, loosey-goosey themes. And, you know, the idea is that every member brings two movies, right? And then that is their, you know, that is their contribution to the table of nominations that we then vote for from there.
I think that was a Tank Girl. It just got voted on.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
But it got like really big, right? Where the topics were so broad, where you had a million choices and you didn't know what to choose from because the choice was so large.
Mm.
So my idea behind picking three was, let's make it more difficult. Let's be as specific as possible so that way we don't have this large gamut of films to choose from. We have a very specific, almost really having to research what we have to choose, you know? And I thought that was fun.
I found myself in the deep dark.
It was fun. Yeah. I found things I would have not found otherwise.
I know. I'm just going to type in hot acidic Italians and see what comes up on Google. It's probably going to be X-rated.
So then the whole idea again is everyone nominates two movies, and then we vote for them for there, and the voting can get very close, as Jenny mentioned previously. It can come down to like three movies and we have a tiebreaker, or sometimes we just have triple features if, you know, all the movies are just everyone wants to see. Like if every movie got like seven votes, then I'm not going to, you know, delineate, and it'll just be like, you know, whatever. I think one time we had like five movies. There was one winner, and then everything was tied for two.
Hmm.
And then that was a bit. We couldn't do that. We couldn't marathon a whole day, so we had to kind of narrow it down. That particular one, I forget which one that was, but And there we go.
Was that Mechanical Dance Slashers? I feel like that one was kind of a
maybe.
That was a very interesting topic.
Tie.
Yeah, because we had it on the agenda, and then the pandemic happened, right?
Yeah.
And so it was delayed for quite a while, and we had some streamed nights that were unofficial.
MRS Lite.
As we like to call them. And then we did, you know, I started the Plex server, which, you know, made me feel better because, you know, we were kind of, you know, not doing the most legal thing on Twitch. So we could have gotten shut down at like a snap of a finger. So Plex seemed a lot more reliable and safe and private. And then once we kind of got into the rhythm of that and everyone got used to the technology, we were like, oh yeah, let's do this. And so we resumed virtually, and that was our first one. I think that was the first one that we voted for all of the, no, it was the one previous, but the first like themed meeting that we, voted for everything virtually.
Can I just name the movies that were picked for, or not? Well, just, I'm going to name the movies for that one. Cause honestly, I think that was one of my favorite ones.
Yeah,
in film, like in choices, and that one was awesome. So the choices were Texas Chainsaw 2, Chopping Mall, Ex Machina, Slumber Party Massacre 2, Super Inframan, Halloween 3, excuse me, Nightmare Beach, Short Circuit 2, Master of the Flying Guillotine, and then the two winners were Killer Workout and Deadly Friend.
Man, what a awesome. What a double feature.
Watch all of those.
Yeah, that was a good one. And those two worked out so well together.
Yes.
I have a question for everybody. Did, when we switched from in-person to virtual for this, did anyone's picks like, did you change the way you thought about your picks geared towards how we corresponded via Discord text rather than in person and you can just say what you're saying? And it, like, it kind of, to me, it kind of changed a little bit because we were doing a lot more text chatting and the dynamics seemed to change. So I know I started to pick things that would be more funny that we could make crack jokes about in the chat versus anything kind of serious or whatever that might play better in person.
In general, those are the things that I seem to choose anyway, is stuff that's just silly and you want to turn to the person next to you and be like, oh my God, look at that. So I didn't have to change too much for me. But like it definitely changed things a little bit, but we were so happy to be able to do it in any way to get together and do this. I think that Dave did all the work to figure out exactly what we needed to do. That we had the one light episode in between that was sort of like figuring out how to make the technology work for everybody.
Yeah.
I think that was like, was it Pandemic Discoveries was the intermediate, just to see if everything worked.
Yes.
Which was also really fun. You know, it was mostly for the viewers, not the viewers, the listeners. It was whatever people had discovered during the pandemic. You know, they would nominate them and then we would, you know, watch the winner.
Or new.
Yeah. But to go back to Jen Mike's question, for me, I definitely gradually changed the way I would nominate stuff. Because initially, I remember for my curation, and we can all talk about our curation nights as well, because I think that's particularly interesting. At least get the listeners to know who we are as well, at least back at least 4 years ago when we were nominating stuff. But for me, like, I nominated John Frankenheimer Seconds and Eyes Without a Face. And now, Eyes Without a Face is a great, great horror movie. Beautifully shot, and everyone really liked that. John Frankenheimer Seconds is a very heavy movie. And, you know, people, one member was falling asleep. So, you know, now I would never do that double feature. I mean, I might still do Eyes Without a Face, but I would probably have done something different. I would probably have paired it with a Vincent Price movie or something a little bit more campier and fun. Because having read The Room these past 4 years, I think it's better to have the crowd reaction, you know, to have fun, you know, not that we limit ourselves ever and not that we only watch horror movies, because, you know, we've watched action movies, we've watched dramas, you know, the whole nine yards, mostly skirting around horror, but, you know, diverse nonetheless.
Not to mention the snacks.
The snacks?
Yeah. Everybody brings fun snacks.
Oh, yeah. Everyone brings fun snacks. That's true. Sorry. We haven't had an in-person meeting in a while, so I'm like, what snacks?
Don't remember the snacks?
The snacks. I remember someone brought the Scooby-Doo graham cracker treats, and I was like, in heaven.
That was me.
Yeah, of course, K-tron.
Thank you, K-tron.
You brought the best snacks. I made the all-natural snacks.
And I'm like, who wants artificial everything? It's also
you're the yin and yang. Yin and yang of snacks. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, my way of nominating has definitely changed. And specifically for like the virtual stuff, I ended up honestly trying to find stuff easier for me to put on the server.
Yeah.
Because we have a Plex server that I am solely responsible for. So thank you all of you who have found digital versions of it that I could easily acquire. I also have a very extensive movie collection, so it was easy enough to rip and put on there. But, you know, whatever was easy for me, that just happened to already be on YouTube that I can download with this piece of software that I have. kind of made that nomination sway in that movie's favor.
I think I did do that. I tried to make sure I found something that could be found digitally, virtually, so that I didn't have to like drive to your house to leave a DVD in your mailbox.
I think my favorite one, which I don't think it got chosen, but I think we both nominated it for something, Katron, was Bride of Boogity.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
And I was like, where can you even find this bootleg DVDs on eBay, you know? And then you were like, I have a copy. And I was like, oh, please give me that.
I do. But it used to be everywhere on all kinds of places that would just put up videos. But I think since Disney Plus, it has disappeared.
I'd never seen it physically in my whole life. And I've been looking for it for a long time.
Did we find a legit copy? Like, Disney created the Movie Club, and then a bunch of,
I think so,
bunch of hard to get movies came out or were re-released under that label.
Yeah,
I think it came out in like a double pack, and Boogity and Bride of Boogity, along with 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, which everyone was dying for.
Very random.
Yeah, it was a random assortment. Made
for TV Disney movies. always a good time.
How about you, Jay from the Grave? Did your nomination process change going from virtual?
I think that I used to think of things a little bit differently. I don't think I would do as much research because we have so many movies. I would just like go around, okay, here's my movie, and not like really have to like dig deep in and go into research mode online because we have to post kind of like a synopsis, you know, in our reasoning for choosing what we're choosing. And I think that kind of helped me, you know, learn more about directors and actors and time frames of movies and all these different pieces of the microcosm that goes into the macrocosm or the microcosm of cinematography and filmography and all that jazz. So I think it helped a lot. I think it was very informative.
That's actually a good point, is and something we can touch upon, is the hype of our picks, of our nominations, you know, hyping them to the room, and the dynamic change, the swift change from going to an in-person you know, here are my movies to text-based
stuff. Yeah, public speaking, like, hello, my name is David, I am picking.
I can tell you one member that benefited greatly from that, and that is Mr. My Cousin Vinny. because he, you know,
he's the dark horse of the group. Like, the more I didn't know him before we started seeing each other. I think maybe I met him once at a wrestling show that I went to with Jet Mike, and he's kind of quiet at first, but he's got a lot to say. He's a very thoughtful guy, and he likes some of the weirdest movies in the
world. We're making him blush right now.
I love Vinny so much. Shout out to V-Dog.
If you're listening, we love you, Vinny.
Love you, Vinny. So yeah, I don't know if he just didn't know how to sell his stuff when he was with us in person, or he'd just be like, oh, here's Slime Bowl-a-rama. And
I think he got so much better though towards the end. He was selling it. I think he brought his game up a little bit, and then
definitely all did, but there was something that move to virtual where, because Vinny is on fire. like the past like few meetings that were all virtual, like his picks have been top. He picked you know, Killer Workout.
Killer Workout was so good.
Yeah. Delivery Boys was his.
Delivery Boys is one of my all-time favorites now.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I had never even heard of that movie, and then he threw it in there, and that was a fantastic movie.
It's like a diamond in the rough. That is such a good movie.
Which
Dracula Bows is cool was K-Tron's pick from that one.
Yeah, I was about to say that was paired up with Delivery Boys. Oh my, what a fucking, that night. All right, like.
That was
80s disco B movie was a tough one. But oh,
it got real steamy real quick.
I had no idea where it was going because it's like kind of the least colorful of the themes. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, compared to like Bonkers Using Kittens and Boning Kung Fu Vampires and Hot Acidic Italians, Hades Disco B movie, you know, it's like, it's literally something you would probably, well, actually not really, because as we found, it's very difficult to pin all of those together, but it doesn't necessarily jump out at you. But man,
yeah,
it was like probably one of my favorite nights.
Me too.
I remember we picked it and we were all just kind of like 80s disco.
Right. Because as you may know, our listening audience, disco was dead in the 80s. They were throwing those disco, not CDs, not tapes, records.
Eight tracks,
yeah, they were like setting them on fire in football stadiums. They were very adamant on getting rid of disco.
I mean, my dad was still listening to it. But
there were some holdouts. It was still playing at some of the clubs, but things were changing. Synthesizers were in, and some of those drum beat loops weren't so cool anymore. So yeah, an 80s movie with disco was difficult. Dracula Blows Is Cool was a movie that was made in the 70s but didn't get released until the 80s, so that's how that one was justified. And I don't know if B was maybe correct. Perhaps D would be the proper letter.
Yeah, I was like, B, all of our movies are technically in the B spectrum.
Oh, no. No? Dracula Blows Is Cool is a AAA title. but Katron, tell us about how you discovered Dracula Blows Is Cool. So
that this movie got nominated and watched was actually extremely important to me as a human being. So this movie was discovered because my significant other, who has worked with many of you, took home a bin full of shitty vampire movies from work. Sometimes the movies that people come in and want to sell are not sellable and they just leave them. They don't want them. And those films, who knows what happens to them? They often just get taken by people or thrown in the garbage. And I was like, bring me the fuck ton of shitty vampire movies home right now because I like vampire movies. Now that sat in our living room for at least a year before I even like looked through any of these things. Or I kind of like went through them once but didn't watch anything. And finally, I was like, all right, let's watch some of these and then I can get rid of them. Hopefully, you know, let's finally do the thing with the things. The first movie I pull out is Dracula Blows His Cool. And after watching this movie, could not get rid of it. So it didn't even do the thing that it was supposed to do because this movie is so ridiculous. And what is it about? A hotel castle that's having a big party in Italy and Dracula just so happens to live in the basement, I guess, and the whole thing is completely dubbed, and there's
I think it was a porn once. I am convinced that this is a smut without smut version of something.
I was thinking that
maybe.
You know, and then they completely wiped out the audio and then contextualized it in the worst possible way with the overdub.
It's possible. And
or they had bigger plans to make it smut and they're like, oh no, the, you know, CEO won't let you. They want it to be family friendly. It's like, oh God.
There's a great song in this film by a band called Maka, I believe. And it's called Rock Me Dracula. And you hear that song about 75 times in the film. And it's a disco track, perfect for disco B movie. And the lyrics are just Rock Me Dracula over and over again. So good. So I watched this movie with my significant other, blown away by this fucking ridiculous film. And for years, we tried to convince our friends to watch it. People borrowed it and gave it back. Oh, we didn't have the time. Many times. So that finally the movie that sat in a bin then got taken home to continue to sit in that bin, and then we watched it and then couldn't get anybody else to watch it, that it was finally nominated to be watched with our friends, was very important, and it did not disappoint.
a crowning achievement.
And I'm sure this has happened with other people. Like, you've watched something mm-hmm. and it's, you can't always get someone to sit down and watch a movie with you, or maybe they just have no idea what gems you have, and forcing your friends into watching something because everybody voted on it is a perfect way to trick your friends into watching a movie you've waited 5 years to show them.
That's great. That was the main tenet of MRS. Give us all of your gems.
That is how I felt about, Dave and I both nominated Dagon, but the first time I laid eyes on that film, I was like, this is going to be good. That was MRS 12, Haunted Nautical Champions.
That was our first one, right?
Yeah, first those are first theme night, or pumpkin pale pick, as we call them. Yeah, because we were both like, okay, we both wanted to pick it, right, Jenny? And then we were like, okay, we'll present it mutually. Mm. We'll be like, this movie is just that good that we're both going to sacrifice a nomination slot.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it worked, man. And it did not disappoint.
Love that movie so much, Stuart Gordon. With H.P. Lovecraft, Dagon, like, it's just, it works on so many levels. It's great.
Yeah, the actor who's not Jeffrey Combs but looks like Jeffrey Combs.
Yeah.
I don't want to dwell too much on Dagon, but man, it's a great movie. Practical effects up the wazoo, and just everything. It's great because Stuart Gordon always wanted to do Shadow Over in Smith as a movie. And he finally got that chance, and he gave it his all on this one, and it's an underseen gem. Mm. Much like Dracula Blues is cool.
Haunted Nautical Champions, Jet Mike had Mad Monster Party in that one.
Yes.
That's true, yes.
That's a childhood favorite, right, Mike?
Yeah, Rankin Bass, everybody knows him for, Christmas and whatnot, but Ace's feature film, one of their, rare feature films. It wasn't supposed to be a feature film, but they made it into one, so they had to add a bunch of stuff. So it gets kind of slow in the mm-hmm. middle, but it's still charming, and that's why it gets a little slow, because they had to add it.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I was like, how have I never seen this? Like, I love those, all the Christmas movies, and yeah. It was a gem.
Haunted Nautical Champions.
What did you nominate, Katron, for that?
Oh, don't even get me started about what I nominated for Haunted Nautical Champions. So this being our first one, I think I was kind of disappointed in the three words because I didn't like nautical. And now that I know that it was Jenny's fault who put nautical in there.
All my fault.
I just think in general, I'm over nautical. Like, where we live is big. Nautical, because we could just walk outside and touch a boat probably.
I could do nautical all day long. Fog is like one of my favorite movies of all time, so
that would,
sorry,
I don't know. And
not sorry.
I know Lovecraft is easy, and I was just like, oh.
I know Haunted is such a good one. You could like have that with like anything.
That's true. That was my word, and I was like, ah, oh, now it's gonna be a bunch of boat movies I don't want to see. But the ones that I chose for that, neither one got chosen, and I was sort of disappointed in them because I thought I was so clever. One was Creepshow 2, which I think I've tried to get people to watch like 3 or 4 times, most especially for The Raft, which is Creepshow, is a bunch of short stories in a wrapping around story, and Creepshow 2 has The Raft, which is about a amorphous blob that's just eating people stuck on a raft in a lake. Didn't get chosen. Very disappointed. I'm going to keep bringing Creepshow 2 until we watch it, guys. That's it. And the other one, which I thought I was a goddamn genius for, was Friday the 13th, Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. Because he is a haunted individual. They're on a boat, a cruise ship. It's kids like in a prom boat. Then they go to Manhattan. And Champion, obviously, Jason Voorhees is a champion of his own story, taking out teens for vengeance. Didn't get picked.
So maybe that will be a hefty contender for a revisit.
I hope so. Mike C. seemed so excited to watch that movie that I felt bad that he didn't get to watch it. Like,
yeah.
He's one of our members that claims to have not seen a lot of films, and that he was like, I really want to see it. I was like, I want this to happen for him. Come on.
I know. When he gets excited about a movie, it's like, oh.
Yeah, he's a cool sport because he doesn't nominate. I think he's nominated like two movies in the entire history that he's been coming. And
like our wild card.
Yeah. And it's great because, you know, when we tell people about MRS, it's always the same thing where it's like, oh, I don't watch a lot of movies or I would have nothing to nominate. And it's like, well, one, none of those matter.
Come and watch movies with us.
Same. Just come watch movies with us. You know, you don't have to nominate anything. You know, you can just chill.
No experience required.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're all in it to learn more about movies and discover more movies. You know, that's the end goal. But he was, Mike C., also known as Coitus, was very into Jason Takes Manhattan. And I do remember you drew a little doodle of Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yes, because I think I only had it on DVD at the time. And I had put all my DVDs of that particular box set into just like a booklet. So I didn't have the like case to show off to be like, here it is, this is what it's about, to kind of pass around and show people. So I had to sell it with just my words and then like a drawing of Jason, I think missing one hand too, on a boat near the Statue of Liberty. I don't even remember. Whatever it was, I didn't have a lot of time.
That's another good point. Going back to Jet Mike's question about how your choosing and explaining changed versus, you know, physical versus digital, and like physical, we like showed the DVD most of the time or the Blu-ray or whatever, like the front cover, and it's like, this is what this movie is. And then I feel like on the virtual, on the chat, it's mostly textual. We did some of the like clips of the movie fronts, but other than that,
yeah, it's all been dependent all caps, on people.
Baby.
Yeah, the virtual definitely sided more with people kind of doing their own research and finding out a little bit more with the movies.
Yeah,
it's also like people have more time with the movies too, because, you know, when we're doing it in person, people have like as much time as people are presenting to get hyped about this movie, whereas virtual, people have a list. You know, they have a week to vote, and, you know, they can do their own research or not do their own research, you know.
They have time to structure their epic poem that's going to describe this beautiful D movie about lusty vampires.
I think there were a few that were in some of our digital nominations that I was like, don't know what that is, so I'd watch trailers or something just to get a feel. Can't really do that just sitting in a room, or you could, but watching a trailer for a movie you're just about to watch never makes any sense, because then you've pretty much seen the whole film.
Yeah, definitely begs the question of how we proceed forward, right? Like, do people like just voting online, or do we just go back to the old way of presenting it in person? It's an interesting question, one that we don't necessarily have to solve now, but they both have their ups and downs, and as the dude would say, you know, strikes and gutters, ups and downs.
I think we've talked about everything except for the most recent and MRS 13, the Odd Man Out, Bonkers Using Kittens, which was such a
bonkers
weird
theme. Kittens. When I was the person who pulled the word kittens, it wasn't my word, and I like cats a lot. I don't know if anybody knows this. I like vampires and cats, I guess. I pulled the word kittens and got so excited. And whoever nominated kittens also drew like a little cat face too, which is something I totally would have done, but it wasn't even mine. So whoever did it,
I don't know.
Thank you forever. So glad that we got to watch Bonkers.
Bonkers using kittens.
What and we got.
We watched
a bunch of stuff because K-Tron, I believe you brought some shorts as well.
Yes.
And Jet might correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, but Black Santa's Revenge as well.
Yeah, I brought that one.
Yeah. So Black Santa's Revenge.
That one was because it was almost Christmas. Mm. So we watched that as like a Christmas thing. It didn't fit the theme.
But people wanted to watch it nonetheless.
So
So we had people show up early to do like a triple feature with shorts, and that night was jam packed.
We also watched your starring film.
We did. You better watch out.
So good.
Did I lump in the nominations for a holiday special, or did we actually watch all these movies for Bonkers Oozing Kid?
Well, I mean, besides You Better Watch Out, what was feature length? Anything? Black Santa's Revenge was a short, too.
Uninvited was a full length movie. That one's the one with cats.
We watched Dial Code for Santa and A Christmas Horror Story for our holiday special. That's on this list, so we must have.
That was the most recent. We've had two Christmas specials.
I think Black Santa's Revenge and You Better Watch Out was a different day.
Mm. That was because I didn't know, or we hadn't planned yet doing a Christmas special. So I had brought those as like, hey, let's do something because it's almost Christmas.
Yeah, was it November?
Yeah.
Because then we watched The Hebrew Hammer.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, that movie.
And that was my nomination. So how did I not remember that?
I think You Better Watch Out. Those two were together maybe a different day. Mm-hmm. Or Black Santa's
You Better
Revenge.
Watch Out was Fuck Is This.
Okay. And then it was Black Santa's Revenge and Hebrew Hammer, I think. I don't know.
Something like that. We've watched a lot of movies.
Yes, but so You Better Watch Out is a movie made by, written by, starring one of our members. A couple of our members were in the film.
A few of our members. Yeah.
So, Jet Mike, why don't you give us some feedback? So I don't know if you've ever had the chance to watch a movie that your friends have made. I used to make movies with my friends when we were tweens and teens, and we do this all the time, and it's hilarious. And even if you haven't seen the film but you know people in it, it makes everything that much better when you can turn to someone and just be like, why did you do this? What is happening here? Or just to get that feedback right away.
Like, or to just make gifs of all of the moments with your friends.
It's director's commentary if the director's just sitting in the room with you, you know? Jet Mike, how was it showing this film in our group? Because you showed it a few times when it was first released, when you guys first finished this film. But it had been a couple years since. And it was kind of like a revisitation,
Yeah, it's been, I don't know, what, maybe 6 years or so when we watched it since we made it. And, you know, it's a zero-budget indie movie. It's an anthology movie. So, you know, after a few years, you watch it again, and all I kept seeing was flaws. And
all I saw was masterpiece.
Yeah, I mean, we had no money, and none of us were actors. We did it for the love of it. But yeah, three MRS members are in it. And it was a lot of fun because it did get a very positive reaction. There was a lot of laughter. And, that's kind of what we were shooting for. It is a horror movie, but I play Santa, and anybody who's seen me knows that I should play Santa, if anything. But, you know, it is for free on YouTube if anybody does want to watch it. It's under Roadkill Entertainment. I believe if you type in Roadkill Entertainment, when my partner, who actually did all the technical stuff, made the YouTube page, I don't know if it cut off or he typoed or something, but it's Roadkill Entertainment. So,
oh my,
you know, because there is our, I guess there's also a Roadkill Entertainment with a T, and I don't know, ours is men, but anyway, if you find it there, go ahead and watch it for free. It's a fun little anthology, and it's It's all holiday based. So there's a Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's story. I wrote half of it, and he wrote half of it, and he directed it. And yeah, I played Santa, and it was a really good time to show it with, you know, with a little bit of a crowd. And some of them I didn't know very well at the time. You know,
that,
some of the.
Did that make you nervous?
A little bit, you know, because, you know, like Mike C was kind of new. And, you know, you always wonder, well, is this guy going to think that I'm an idiot now? And, it, you know, that shouldn't matter. And I, you know, and it really didn't. But I really enjoyed having the people who hadn't seen it before laugh at stuff. Thank you. I very much enjoyed it. I've always wanted to play the, you never see a horror movie with Santa. You never see the Santa as the traditional good guy Santa. So that's what I did. Because I will not besmirch the name of Santa. Yeah. Me as well.
You just besmirched the Catholic Church is all. That's fine.
Yeah, you know, but not if you watch the end of it.
There's too many bad Santas.
Santa has nothing against the Catholic Church. Santa has nothing against anyone unless you're naughty.
So yes, if you watch it for anything, watch it for the Santa parts, because yes, it is so good.
I mean, the premise of the Christmas one is that the Catholic Church is jealous of the attention Santa gets for Christmas, and so they send a hitman to kill him.
And what a hitman it is.
What a hitman it is. And the hitman was also our makeup guy.
Oh yeah, nice. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, because wasn't he, speaking of late night hosts, he was also a late night host for Public Access?
He was.
Yes.
He actually cameoed in Coop's story as his host character, Uncle Fright. It was a clip of his show being played.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I also like the Old Man Winter, the New Year's Eve story as well. That... I will leave to people to discover what it's about.
That's the one where we get the bonkers using kittens was from the New Year's episode or segment. And it's just old man New Year, tired of being an old man, trying to become a young man and experimenting with stuff. So yes, it was, You Better Watch Out. That was our one of the bonkers using kittens. The other was The Uninvited, which was the one pick of Vinny's that had ever gotten picked ever in any of the voting of MRS history, except for his own member curated ones. And he had to leave early that day. He didn't even get to stay and watch it with us. But that was the one that was the 80s film about the kids on the boat. They did a bunch of coke, I think. And something about a cat that ate some stuff and was becoming a mutant and killing everybody, I believe. So it was wonderful. Great film.
Now available on Vinegar Syndrome.
Yeah, it was good. It was a hoot. Cat Soup was the short that we brought, which it's described as Hello Kitty on acid when it was first coming out. It's just a half hour film, and it is a wacky Japanese animated thing with cute cats. There's a little bit of a history to it that I can't remember all of it, but I believe it's something like the manga creator had passed away, and this was made after their death by other people, and it was just a curious, strange little thing to watch in the group. But something that not a lot of people had heard about. It's long since out of print, but it's something I picked up from the film store many, many years ago.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And then we had like Cat with Hands and The Separation. And I know that The Separation had nothing to do with Bonkers Using Kittens, but it was in the queue. It played right after, I think, Cat with Hands. And we're like, oh, this looks interesting. Let's watch it. And that is also a very interesting movie. Like, I think it was like about conjoined twins that get separated. And then, you know, very Quay Brothers-esque, if you will. It was and a very, very interesting night.
The cat with hands, I think it was a cat that wanted hands and was trying to get a little boy to give him hands. Both Cat with Hand and Separation were stop motion YouTube finds. So even if you yourself don't have a huge gallery of films to go through, try to YouTube challenge each other maybe to try to find stuff to fit this.
Oh, that'd be great.
There's so many good shorts out there.
So yeah, Four and Rubber Ducks was our last one that we haven't discussed.
The most difficult for me, I feel like. Anybody else?
This is us literally getting to the bottom of the barrel, so.
Bottom of the barrel.
I had a super easy time with this one. Because I just chose docks as doctors and rubber as like makeup appliances. And it just totally, it made it a breeze.
Yeah.
I just had a hard time with this theme. So I selected Weird, Brothers Quay, and Little Otique by Schwenkmeyer. Weird. Is he Scandinavian?
Yeah, right? He's Scandinavian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, strange Scandinavian movie. I was like, just throw it in.
Very good.
Yeah, I had nominated Psychomania and Inseminoid. And Psychomania, I remember because during Bony Kung Fu Vampires, I had pointed out that we had watched 60 movies together because I keep track on a Letterboxd list. And Kai, you pointed out that Psychomania was on there and we hadn't actually watched it.
We watched it. We watched it, but nobody...
No, it was at we have a good partnership with Skull or the New Bedford Star Chasers, and we do movie nights with them every Halloween season. And Psychomania was that they're a bicycle group, and this is a zombie motorcycle movie.
Yeah, it was
and fun. Yeah, it fit the bill.
I think Midnight Dave and I were the only ones from MRS proper there. Mm-hmm. Everybody else kind of like offshoot, but
yeah, so
I got a really good reception, so
yeah, but we took it off the list, and I was like, you know what, this fits Foreign Rubber Docks perfectly, so I'm going to nominate it. You know,
this super fun movie,
it is. It will be my Creepshow 2, and I will stick it in wherever I possibly can, because that's definitely something.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, I feel like you've wanted to stick it in so many times, and yes, that's also what she said.
Ah, man.
Sticking it in.
As I was saying that, I was like, oh no.
You see Mike's smirk, you know, that's from a mile away.
My eyes went right to Inseminoid, because I've wanted to see that movie for so long and haven't. I voted for it, but it didn't get in, so.
Yeah. I was hoping Norman J. Warren recently passed then too, so you know,
it's a movie that I've seen come up all the time on like probably Amazon recommending, like, oh, you've watched this trash movie, do you want to watch this trash movie? And I'm like, oh no, I hope no one sees me browsing this while I'm at work, like I'm on my break, it's okay if I look at Inseminoid, this is not what you think. So, you know, maybe another day perhaps.
Yeah, at work, trying to talk to people about MRS. it's very, very awkward. They're like, oh, you like movies? Well, I saw the newest, you know, Marvel movie. And I'm like, yeah.
I saw Inseminoid the other day.
So I think the two that won Foreign Rubber Ducks won because it is a grand prize to have your film watched. It was Jet Mike. You had Burial Ground, right?
Mm-hmm. I did.
You're very good. Oh, and I had Extro.
Mm.
And I'm my very God. Happy.
I'm so happy we all watched Burial Ground together. That was definitely one of my favorites.
That's a communal experience. If you can survive Burial Ground together, you deserve to be friends, I think.
What made you pick that, Jet Mike?
That kind of goes back to what I was talking about earlier, is I tried to read the room of who was going to be there and how we talk in the chat, which is very much jokey and having fun. I said, no better movie to have fun with and joke around than Burial Ground.
Mm.
Burial Ground has sort of been this like secret inside joke with various members of this group. Many of you who have worked at stores together, I feel like this was like the secret handshake for a long time, and
yeah,
I was glad to be privy to this joke. And
did Peter Bark ever come to Rock and Shock?
No, he's not. He doesn't do any shows or signings or whatnot. There was a brief, like, you know, Mike Baronis may have had an in to kind of contact him, and you know, it was kind of floated out there, but he just doesn't really do anything like that.
Gotcha. I always thought that the Italian district of actors and directors was kind of missing, and I was always like, why?
Because they don't want to.
Italian celebs, yeah, probably not.
They're probably like, you want to watch this zombie movie where people have like oatmeal and gray paint stuck to their face while they're stuck in a haunted castle, and that's not even the worst thing that happened in this film.
Oh,
you mean it's not the best thing that happened in this film?
That's right.
I'm sorry, that's true.
A lot of kung fu actors are like that as well. Because back, you know, I mean, Shaw Brothers, they pumped out like hundreds of movies a year. So they
didn't think anybody would see these movies, really, or have hard copies to watch them more than once. This was a movie you'd see at the drive-in, and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not like they took care of like the film prints; they would just throw them out practically.
Yeah.
So you know, they would get like a summer gig, like acting for, you know, or just do it for a couple of years, and then they would go on doing something else. A lot of them like own restaurants, own their own dojos and stuff, and they've forgotten that they were like movie stars. And then people would just be like, oh my God, you blah, blah, blah. And then they are asked to do conventions and they're like, what is this? How? Why?
Maybe they didn't even see the movies they were in, most likely.
Yeah. I'm still convinced that Bolo Young never watched Boxer's Omen. Which is a movie talking about Holy Grail, and it has nothing to do with the pumpkin pail themes, but we had a Halloween, our annual Halloween meeting, and it got nominated, and I was tickle pink. I was so psyched, because that was a movie I didn't think anyone would ever vote for ever. It was like so bad I didn't even like nominate it. I'm just like, okay, you know, this is too out there. But apparently it was so out there it was perfect for MRS.
Mm-hmm. It might have been one that greatly benefited from me going, oh, what's this movie, and going to watch the trailer, because you watch like the 10 seconds of that and I was like, I'm in, all my chips and votes going in. I want to see that so bad.
That's most kung fu movies. You hear the name and you're like, oh, all right. And then you see the trailer and you're like, what? Please give me more. Thank you.
This isn't like your average kung fu movie, right? This is, especially for the listeners, this is fucking insanity. You know, you got a guy whose soul is connected to a Buddhist monk, and the Buddhist monk is in a rivalry with a black priest, and he gets roped in. And just the most bananas visuals you can imagine occur.
A lot of spitting.
A
lot of weird fluids.
Weird lighting. Great set pieces.
I think weird fluids should be a mini theme.
Yeah, definitely. Using reprisal, for sure. Mm. I just remember during that meeting, Mike C, before we watched it, he was like, I'm drinking, just cracked open a nice cider to watch this fantastic Halloween movie. He had not seen it. He was just hyping himself. And I'm like, oh, just wait. And then afterwards he goes, that was not a Halloween movie. I'm sorry, Mike C. But I was like, because that, I feel like that was the most polarizing movie we watched. There were people who did not finish. They left early. This was all virtual, but they definitely like headed out. And they were about it. They said that it was not the movie, but I think it was the movie. But anyway.
What did they know? Well, Burial Ground was a movie that if you hadn't seen it before, I was so excited to be there with people who had not seen it, but I knew, but they didn't know certain things in that film. And I was just, can't wait for this scene to happen. Oh boy, oh boy. And definitely there were many scenes, like I hadn't seen it in a long time either. So it was good to revisit and then revisit with people who had no clue. The poor souls.
Mm. Oh yeah. It was.
The chat blew up a couple times.
Certain things.
But anyway, watch that movie. It was great. Mm-hmm. What about Extra, K-tron?
Yeah, so, your nomination.
Extra was a movie that must have been advertised to me somehow because I've never heard of it before. I watched a trailer for it and was like, I got to get this movie. And I bought it. I don't know if it has a U.S. release. I do have a Blu-ray player that's all regions. And it was a U.K. film. So that was the foreign part. And it also has to do with aliens. Also foreign. My rubber was the gratuitous amount of latex in the movie. And docs, because there's one scene where a doctor makes a house call to a little boy completely soaked in blood. And he's just like, well, he's just going to sleep it off. He'll be okay. The kid is fine. He's not hurt, which is confusing, but he's still like, well, you know, need some rest. Have a night. Good night. So yeah,
I just wanted you to know, K-tron, that I suck Dave's shoulder now for a particular reason because of this movie.
That came up recently in my home as well, a reference to the shoulder sucking.
That's strange.
So yeah, I had bought it, watched it, and was like, my God, I got to get the group to watch this. And the foreign rubber docs came up and I was like, well, I just so happen to have this film. Here we go. So yes, it's an alien movie from the UK, and it is batshit crazy ridiculous. A whole bunch of interesting practical effects, and it's got a big following, I think, over there, but not so much here. I'd never heard of it before, and as you can tell, many of us deep dive in things. I've never heard anybody mention it by name, seen it in a list, just never. And I think the tagline is something like, it's some kind of play on E.T. too, because it even had a different title. Then E.T. gets super popular, and then they changed the name to Extra to be like, this extraterrestrial is not friendly like the other one in the other film. Come watch this one. So yeah, very excited to share this weird movie with all of you.
It was really
funny. I'm just trying to look up the tagline. Oh, some extraterrestrials are not friendly.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. And he wasn't. So very early on into this movie, there's an alien birthing scene, which is super intense. And that was paired with the ridiculous, terrible shit that happens in Burial Ground was perfect. Like, it's Jet Mike and I trolling everyone there.
You wouldn't think they'd go together well, but they do. It's like a fine wine and cheese pairing.
Which is, that's something that I really liked that kind of happened by accident in a lot of these, is we'd have the theme, but then we'd all discover, like, what's the mini theme that connects these movies?
Yeah. Yes, so true. Yeah.
Besides boobs.
Which is a common theme throughout all the movies we watch, it seems. But, yeah, while we think of mini themes, what are some of the mini themes? Does anyone remember? I feel like we just spot them at the moment.
Yeah, and then you forget about them 5 minutes later.
I was trying to remember, but I couldn't. But it's definitely like if you've ever watched two movies back to back and you're looking for something, you can pick something out, like Delivery Boys and Deadly Friend. I feel like there was something there that we just kept laughing at, that like things would come up. Besides dancing and...
Was it Dracula? Dracula Bulls is cool, right? Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Dracula, yeah.
Those two, absolutely. I don't know.
I kind of wish all of the Twitch chats were saved somewhere so we could read through them.
Oh, they are on Discord. On Discord they are.
What? Oh, they are on Discord?
Yeah, we have a whole archive, everybody.
It's like, do we want to go back there?
Oh, absolutely. speaking of like double features, one thing I really liked, and Foreign Rubber Docks is a great example of this, where it was like two movies I had already seen, but having them together made it even better and created a whole new experience. You know, because I had seen Extra years ago, probably early college. Someone's like, hey, check this out. And I'm like, whoa. And of course, I've seen Burial Ground. You know, I was part of the Secret Handshake crew. and or the Peter Bark fan club, if you will. Sure. We've got our secret dance going on.
I think there's a magnet or a sticker of him on my fridge right now.
Nice. And then, but then like having them together and just back-to-back majesty. like the energy with the group, you know, mixed in with, you know, the euphoria of like, because we watched Extra first, and then like just like the euphoric feeling you get after watching that like batshit insane movie, and then we go into Burial Ground, and then that energy, like
it just, way different.
Just, it's different, yeah. But it coasts. It just keeps.
It does, yeah. And it's like such an inviting movie. You know, it's like this beautiful mansion. There's a lot of like beautiful actors. It's very Italian and grand. And then everything starts falling apart, and you're like, "What?"
A lot of people having sex, and then suddenly hearing someone coming through the door and not covering themselves in a timely manner, yeah. Or at all.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What do you mean by coming through the door?
There was like so much about that movie that you were like, this is what? Like,
well, the thing I had even forgotten about Burial Ground is it never stops.
Yes.
There, when it just right from the start, they get there and it goes, mm-hmm. And you don't even have a minute to breathe.
Nope.
And then that stuff happens that you know what I'm talking about. And like, that's the part where your brain explodes and then you got to pick it back up. But you don't have time to pick it back up, so you're just trying to get along with it the rest of the movie, and it's just fabulous.
Yeah, you don't always get that with the Italian films. If the pacing is slow, I get lost pretty easily. But that's one that's like, you don't get any of that leisure time. Even during the sex, there's still zombies happening, so don't get comfortable. And trust me, you won't be comfortable very soon if you are right now. Hold your breath.
I just had a little idea. What if we remix up for our next edition, we remix up the words?
Oh, you mean put the words back and then choose them again?
Or take one from each and vote on that. I'm not sure how it would work, the mechanics would work, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah. We could definitely workshop it and see how that works. Yeah, I mean, that's what's great. Now that we've done this, there are so many ways and angles to interpret it. It's kind of the gift that keeps on giving. The pale that keeps on impaling.
Pick six words.
Oh! Or you pick six words. That would get tiresome.
In Kittens, Haunted Nautical Champions, all in one movie.
My goodness.
How low can you go?
So what's our final three words?
It was urban monkey comedy.
Yes, I keep forgetting that.
Look, I already have like five movies on my list.
You do?
This one, bam, I had it.
I do too.
I don't have horror movies. I have like weird kids movies that popped into my brain. So I have to do a little more research.
I've got one that is the first Blu-ray I ever owned. So I'm excited to throw this in the mix, and it is weird. I don't think it's horror though, but it'll be something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of kids movies as a kid with primates in them. Sure, so sure. I don't know why. They all popped into my head and I was like, I don't know if anybody will like these movies. I don't know if these movies are still going to stand up to this day, because the last time I saw them, I was like 9. So I got to revisit them a little.
This is one where I didn't have something that popped in my head super fast. And when I do try to figure out, okay, what could it be? I'll look up stuff, because the listicle is my friend. Because the articles that are out there for the people that have to write these things for whatever website they work for, they got to go do the research. They've already done it for me. If I'm looking for, I looked up just ape or monkey movies, and there's many. Okay, there's a lot, especially after Planet of the Apes. They just kept making movies with apes in them. And there's a few that I really want to see now that I don't know if I'll watch them to get nominated or anything, but like, I'm curious. And that happened with a few things. I think Haunted Nautical Champions 2, I couldn't think of something right away and looked up scary water movies and found Blood Lake, which I didn't put in there, but I did buy it. So
I feel like sometimes it just pops and it comes to you and you're like, that's the movie, you know? So yeah. Sometimes you have your idea right away, and then sometimes you just need a little time to ruminate on it. But yeah, I feel like there was like a boom in the 90s for monkeys, chimpanzees.
Oh,
movies.
Yeah, definitely.
Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know why.
I don't want to say any, because then people
I'm
might
not
pick
saying
them,
nothing.
But yeah, you're totally right. There was a lot of 90s monkeys going.
Yeah, all I'll say is that there's a lot of kung fu movies where there's the monkey style.
Of course.
And a lot.
Oh, he's on kung fu.
And a lot of kung fu kind of goes hand in hand with slapstick comedy. So,
hey. And also, one thing to point out, we have had a couple instances where we'll pick the same movie, but honestly, it really rarely ever happens. And I would have thought that it would happen more often, because we're all friends. We all have similar tastes. But really, we all bring such a variety.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of when it did happen that we both.
I
think society.
Me and Professor Cheese picked the same movie. We both picked Brian Usen's Society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For, I think it was the 80s movies. Mm-hmm. Like that was one of the early themes. It's just 80s movies, and we're just like, oh yeah. And I feel like when that happens, it, you know, gets people more excited, because it's like, oh man, out of all the movies,
two Chewbaccas. Did it happen? Was that the only one?
There might have been something else, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. Dagon was intentional, so that doesn't count, but
yeah.
I just remember that because it happened to me.
I try to find something that I don't think anybody has seen, unless it's something that like I just really want to watch with everybody. But it seems like people kind of choose things they haven't seen as well, and not everybody in our group this is as avid a movie watcher as some of us. I've seen a lot, and I realize now that my childhood was perhaps not the same as everybody else's, that I got to see a lot of movies as a kid. And I guess maybe it might be slightly true that you get desensitized or something, because the more I watch, I just want to see more things I've never seen before. Mm. And it gets difficult when you've seen, I don't know, Burial Ground and Extra, and you're like, what else is weird that I haven't seen that's out there? And
have you seen Slugs?
I have seen Slugs. Yes,
yeah, I've seen Slugs. Oh man,
it's gross. It's tough, and I also like the challenge that like all of you have slightly different tastes to what you see. So yeah, you like horror, but like what kind of horror? Or yeah, you like this, but like how deep? And at once, I stumped Vinny once with when it was my member curation. I had the two zombie movies. I had Hard Rock Zombies, and I had, what was the other one? The one that he didn't have.
Oh, Hard Rock Zombies.
That was so good.
The one that's set in the mall. That's the Hong Kong movie.
Oh, Biozombie.
Biozombie.
Oh my God, I love Biozombie so much.
Which have you been able to find Sweet Home at all, Kaya? K-Chan, the one I recommended the Netflix show?
Ooh, I haven't yet. No.
All right, put it on your list because it really does remind me of Biozombie so much.
Yes.
I think Biozombie was Japanese, right?
Nope, that was Chinese. It was in Hong Kong.
Oh, Chinese. This is a Korean show, and I highly recommend it to anyone listening. Not that not that we're supposed to be giving any recommendations, but we're in the midst of it right now.
The trailer looked cool, so.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's fun.
I'm trying to show you guys stuff that you haven't seen, but even then, I just like watching movies with you guys. I don't care. I'll watch anything with you because it's a different experience with different people.
I was just saying, we all have those, like, nostalgic movies that lead into more current movies. So I think we have a nice variety here in our group.
I was going to say that, you know, and to be serious about all of this, when we were forced to go virtual with this, I really enjoyed the meetings as a way of connecting with people and being stuck in the house, but not being stuck alone in the house. Mm-hmm. Cause we have a very big mix of, you know, people live with somebody, people don't live with somebody, whatever. And, you know, I'm one of the ones that doesn't, and I'm fine with that. I enjoy being by myself, but not all the time. You know, when you're stuck in a pandemic and, you know, for the first few months of the pandemic, I wasn't even working. And then I did get a job, but still, I would still come home to, you know, my cat, and who my cat is named Romero, which fits very well to this society.
But
anyway, yes. So it would, it would be great to connect with people that way. And I know we tried a couple of, you know, I'd be in like the test screenings when we tried to figure out the technology. So I get to see some films with, you know, with Dave or Jenny or, you know, whoever was trying to test things out. So it was a really good way to keep my sanity and not feel the weight of the world as much, you know, movies are a great escape, but friendship is too. And that's the best part of this whole group. Mm-hmm. Is that friendship aspect. And, you know, we all come from, you know, different ways of growing up and, you know, different families and things like that. But when we get together and watch movies, we just have fun. And that's the best. And the fact that everything Dave is doing to grow MRS, and then, you know, we help as much as we can, but, you know, Commander Dave, you know, the brain of everything is just expanding this so much. And the more we expand and the more eyeballs get on what we do and the more ears hear what we're doing, you know, the more family that we can make. Mm. And I think that's just the greatest thing for humanity and for film.
Yeah.
That was really nicely worded. Mm.
Thank you. You're making me blush.
I definitely 100% agree, and I couldn't fit it in better.
Yeah, I mean, this can go into the broader question that the only question I pitched to everyone before we started recording was, what does MRS mean to you? But to follow up on Mike.
Beautiful segue.
Yeah. It when the pandemic hit and we had to cancel, you know, our in-person meeting, the first thing I thought of was, well, we have to go virtual. Like, absolutely, you know. And I was already doing virtual stuff. I was doing some Twitch stuff, a lot of YouTube stuff beforehand. That was kind of my skill set when no one wanted it. You know? And I have done very well professionally since then, since my skill set has become more in demand. But for MRS, I was like, we've got to do this, and we got to figure out some way. And it's been, I've always been kind of the big thinker kind of person. You know, I enjoy our small group meetings and we have a lot of fun, but, you know, I always saw the potential to do more with the group. And, you know, I always wanted to do public screenings. You know, the main idea for MRS happened with a phone call with a mutual friend named Rashid, and we were talking about how we enjoyed just meeting up with people, like-minded people at Rock and Shock, and just having that connection. And we wish it didn't have to be once a year that we all got together. And we thought it would be great to do some type of a group thing. Like, you know, honor Romero, yes. Do these tribute nights, yes. But, you know, also have it extend beyond that. You know, Rashid has, you know, he has his own reasons. Life has made him unavailable, unfortunately, to attend. But still a great friend to all of us. Love him to death. But I, you know, kept it going. I still, you know, that is what it always comes back to, right? Is the community. You know, we loved being together at Rock and Shock. Why not do this more? You know, and we love doing it. There's a whole community of people just like us on the internet and in the real world that, you know, would love weird theme nights like this. You know, why aren't we, you know, broadcasting it? You know, we can totally get people interested in this. You know, people love Halloween as much as we do. Why don't we make it like a virtual thing? You know, Halloween is not canceled this year because Hollaboogie exists. You know, that that stuff gets me excited. You guys get me excited to do things, you know, because as an only child, if I can get sappy for a minute, you know, as an only child, I never really had anyone to bounce things off of. You know, there are my parents who don't listen to this, so I can say that they're curmudgeons and don't like to do things. So, you know, as an excitable person in general, youth or as a 32-year-old man, you know, that was always aggravating because there's a whole world out there and I have no one to experience it with. So, to have a group that likes to experience the same things I do and can discover things that are equally as interesting to share with me is wonderful. And I just like to community build, you know? So, you know, I'm happy. Thanks for putting up with all my insanity and wacky ideas, everybody. So that's what MRS means to me, and I will pitch it to the rest of you. Not all at once.
For me, I think I said maybe the second time we got together, or the third or something, I told Dave, like, I'm so happy. I've always wanted to be a part of something like this. And I guess maybe just like a film group or a film society or a film class. I never really took any of those, but I've always loved movies. And I did have a pretty good group of friends we'd watch movies with. As I said, my childhood was filled with movies, and grandma had a questionable cable box. So many things got recorded and shipped around to the family. And I think my dad was just crazy about taping things off of cable TV with the VCR. We had a big library of stuff. So even when we didn't always have the money for cable TV, we always had the tape still. So whatever fluctuation my family was in throughout the years, we had a lot of stuff to distract ourselves with. And we would be the ones, since we knew the movies, since we had them, since we watched them, my brother Paul and I, he's only couple years younger than me, we would be the ones showing movies to all of our friends. So we'd tell people, like, oh my goodness, have you seen this movie? Oh, you got to come over and watch this. Like, we probably were corrupting everybody. Now that I look back, maybe my friend's mom was right and I was the bad kid. It's not true. It was definitely them. So yeah, we had a lot. We were the ones that found these movies, showed them to our friends, like Return of the Living Dead, Army of Darkness, Donnie Darko, Clockwork Orange, Fulci's Zombie, The Stuff, Terror Firmer, like all of these movies we would just find and be like, come over and watch this. This is going to be great. So once we got to be like teens and tweens, we had a bunch of friends that would always come over and watch movies with us. But as everybody kind of grew up, people's lives get different, people split up, people, you know, go about their lives, become adults. we all kind of drifted apart. So I still had friends, but not that same group. And some of the people that were left weren't as big into movies and not especially the kind of stuff that I wanted to see, because as I said, I've seen a lot. So I wanted to keep pushing it further, I guess, and getting weirder and weirder. So it was really good to kind of have that again in my life, as I'm an older adult person. So a lot of people just don't have the time. You have kids, you have job, you have just stuff that you got to do. It's hard to get together. So I'm glad that we have an excuse. That's why I'd say, like, you know, if somebody else wants to start their own Midnight Romero Society chapter or their own Midnight whatever society chapter, like, do it, because you'll trick your friends into having to come over and watch movies with you and to take that time. Time is very precious. And
heck yeah,
you don't always think to let yourself give that time to yourself and your friends too. When you get really busy, it's easy to be like, you know, I can't, I had a hard time, I had a hard week, I just want to stay home. But if you've had it planned for a month, then you feel obligated, like, oh, I gotta go. This is the thing in my calendar that I'm pushing other things aside for. And it's good. I love to be able to celebrate these films with you guys and to discover more and to be able to bounce that stuff off of you. It's wonderful. And that Dave has these plans to stretch it bigger and whatever he wants to do. This is just part of that. This, us sitting here and talking about it, doing a podcast about the thing that we do, is part of that. And I like that. I want more people to just think differently maybe about how they watch movies. All of us are of a different generation at this point, where a lot of people are just watching things digitally. You have Netflix, and it's only $5 a month or something, right? It's cheap. So people have more access to more things than they ever have before. And it's probably easier than it ever has been. But don't forget to just sit down with each other and talk about it, or get on Discord at the same time and press play at the same time, and then send some messages back and forth about all the boobs you're seeing or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does feel like that. It feels like you're back with your friends when you were younger and making fun of movies together or just enjoying movies together. It's a great feeling. Yeah, I had a similar experience. Are you done, Gaetron?
I think so.
All right, well spoken. And I had a very similar experience too. I would watch, we would go to Massive Video when I was younger. And my friends and I would watch, I would of course pick the weirdest B horror movies I could find on the shelf. But even before that, I was raised by movies, albeit mostly Disney and knockoff Disney movies. I think my grandparents had like 200 kids VHS tapes that I was literally watched by. And just, it ruled my childhood. I would just sit on their back porch watching movies, rain or shine, usually. And blossomed into a watcher of more movies. We would go to the movie rental house at least like once a week, I want to say. Always finding new weird movies. I wish I'd kept track of them better. I can remember a good smattering of them, but there's so many weird ones for sure.
The mom and pop stores too were like, I had one in my life as well. See, we just had the same life. We just didn't know it.
Yeah. Well, Massive Video was a weird little chain, but it was only like around, in and around like Bellingham Metro West area, I think.
I had a small place called CJ's where they had new releases, but if you got not new releases, you got 5 movies for 5 days for $5.
Yeah.
So you're guaranteed that I went for the other things. And that's where all those gems were. I saw Sleepaway Camp that way, I think.
Me too.
It's got a cool cover. Why would you not pick that movie out of all the films? The shoe with the knife stuck through it and blood.
Yep.
And the note on the bottom that's like, I'm at camp. I don't think things are going well. Of course you'd pick that. Mm-hmm. And for $1, why would I definitely
pick
that movie?
Yeah, you wouldn't get the new releases. That's too expensive for my allowance.
That's right.
And yeah, watching movies with friends. We would also kind of do something similar to MRS, where my friend Stephanie lived kind of far away. And we couldn't always be together or hang out together. So we would call each other and watch whatever was on TV together at the same time, laughing hysterically like psychopaths. I don't know if you guys remember Most Extreme Elimination Challenge.
Yes. I love it.
We would watch that together and commentate and giggle. But movies were a huge part of my childhood. And I don't think I realized it until I got a job at a specific media store and started kind of seeing those titles again, like that I hadn't really thought about, you know, much. And started kind of connecting dots of like, oh, this director does these movies. This is what a genre is. This is a subgenre, like just like a tidal wave of information. And not only that, just like some of the people I worked with, like had amazing recommendations and opened me up to music, to more movies. And it just kind of like flurried. And then I met someone who I love so much, is dear to my heart, one Jet Mike. We worked together at that said shop, and he invited me to, it's the catalyst. It's so crazy. Invited me to Rock and Shock to volunteer, where I met so many other amazing people, including my fiance, Midnight Dave, the master blaster behind MRS. And I remember talking about it in our kind of before MRS was a thing, and we had already kind of planted the seeds and they were just waiting to germinate, I feel like, because we were all like, yeah, movie watching. It was only natural.
And for the listeners that really don't know what Rock and Shock is, I feel like we mention it every episode and we never give any context. It's a horror movie and metal convention. Rest in peace. Used to be in Worcester, Massachusetts at the BCU Center every year. And all, if not most of us, would volunteer. Mike was the coordinator of the volunteers, and he also got paid. I think the last 2 years you did, is that correct? And it would be a great excuse to meet, work with celebrities, and also meet the really cool vendors and hang out with really cool people all weekend.
Yeah, it was great. It was like being in a whole nother world for the weekend. I compare it to LARPing. I know it's nerdy, I don't care, but I used to LARP, and it was a whole weekend. And you were immersed in this. You were immersed in the story and your character, and just, it was like a bubble surrounded you. And that's what I feel like Rock and Shock was also, this like bubbled atmosphere, this bubbled world we were all in and having fun in. It was a special thing that we all had.
Yeah. And like, it would be years apart, right? But every time we would meet up, it would be like, you know, we saw each other last week, you know, no time.
Another entryway to a million movies and things. Like, I feel like my first, when I worked, I was just looking around at all the celebrities and I was like, that lady was in that guy was in that, you know, like, I got to check that out. I got to you know, so that was another entry point for many, many movies. And just,
I mean,
awesome people. Oftentimes.
I mean, say what you will about Letterboxd and Netflix and all of that, but I feel like the best recommendations come from the people, you know, and I feel MRS is an extension of that. And Rock and Shock was an extension of that as well.
And if anybody wants to know more about the days gone by of Rock and Shock, that is my article for the website. Is I write about the every year that I worked at Rock and Shock. I go chronologically and tell all the tales.
Yeah, stories from convention land. MidnightRomeroSociety.org. You know, got a bunch of articles. Especially those are great.
That's something else that like spliced off of MRS was the articles and people's love of writing and other opportunities for outlets, artistic outlets.
Yeah, I mean, my whole thing with, since I feel like I'm doing a lot of talking, but I am the guy that runs the website, the server, and most of the meetings. So
yeah, you do all the work. You can do a lot of talking.
I don't consider it work. You know, I'm helping my friends, and that's what's great. You know, and people I love the most. But for the articles, it was just spawning of conversations. Like Mike, you know, we would talk about conventions of yore and all the stories and celebrities you would meet, and those stories were fascinating. And I'd be like, you should write an article about that. You know, K-Tron, you know, you would tell me about your love of Super Mario Brothers, and it spawned our most read article ever. You know,
I wrote like 50,000 words about the Super Mario Brothers movie. So if anybody needs it, it's there.
Please read it if you like Mario. Oh my God. Read it if you don't like Mario. Just read it. It's so
It will good. Convince you to like Mario. Like, it's just that good.
I just drank wine in a bathtub just as the Bride of Frankenstein. I didn't really do that much work.
That was a lot of work. That was a hell of a photo shoot.
It was a hell of a photo shoot. And I had to research all the wines and like
Halloween themed wines and bath bombs. You want the ultimate review. What was the title called? Bath bomb.
Bath wine.
Bath and wine. Yeah.
It's bath wine. Wine. It's bath
wine. Yeah, bath wine. Yeah. Yeah, it's on there. It's in the Hollow Boogie list.
It's lighthearted.
Yeah.
And Dave does reviews too.
Not in a long time, but I did do two of them.
But the ones that are there are primo.
Yeah. I am the writer of the melted face. Mm-hmm. Which really I just wanted to make the logo because I was like, I had the image in my head and I'm like, this needs to exist and I will write for this. But I did Mr. No Legs, the amazing Mr. No Legs, and Lady Terminator, which Lady Terminator is another Creepshow 2. And I know people are going to love it.
I need to see that one.
And it is fucking amazing. It lives up to the hype. Read my article. It's a 5-star movie. But yeah.
So we all contribute. We're all pieces of the whole.
Yeah. It's kind of. I mean, the thing is, like, you know, the whole idea, right, just stems from people hanging out and you know, expressing what they love, you know, what they're interested in, and all of that. So the articles, you know, just conversations we had. Why not, you know, tell the whole world about it? Sing it from the mountaintops, you know? We all like watching movies. Well, let's do it together, you know? That's kind of my philosophy about things. It's always better doing it with than by yourself, you know? And then the virtual screenings were just kind of like a no-brainer to bring it back to that, you know, where it was just like, well, we've been doing this in person, but we can still do it online. You know, it's just a natural extension.
Yeah.
You know,
I remember the first one we did during the quarantine, and it was just like this like release because we hadn't seen anybody in so long. And it was just kind of like, seen or talked to anybody in so long. And you kind of feel like you're cut off from the world. And then you're like, oh, everybody's cut off from the world. We're all in the same boat. And it was just like a feeling to be of togetherness, even virtual, you know, digital togetherness, but togetherness nonetheless.
Yeah, that first one was so janky. We had just thrown random movies as suggestions, and then people kind of voted for whatever sounded interesting. And then I made a schedule and said, we're going to be like a TV channel. It was the first incarnation of MRS TV. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I made like the fake TV guide flyer, and I'm like, okay, this is
MTV-esque.
Yeah, this is our schedule, and then the first one was all in a day, so it was like 8 movies in a day, all with like different blocks. You had like your drive-in block, mm-hmm. your Kung Fu afternoon, Kung Fu theater block, and then your after midnight block, which I think was what did we finish off on? It was Army of Darkness, and then What was the puppet one? Peter Jackson made it.
Meet the Feebles?
Meet the Feebles. There we go. Yeah. And it's not available, so it was a shitty VHS version. But but we also showed Police Story and Cloverfield Lane and all of that.
And quite a massive undertaking, honestly.
Yeah, you know, I'm good for weird, weird ideas that take a lot of work but are super fun. I guess that's my MO, if you could summarize me. but it was great. You know, everyone really enjoyed it.
I tuned in for Blackula and Ganja and Hess.
Yeah. Yes.
Whatever night that was. That was a good one.
Yeah, that was after like the one nighter where I would do it. Was it 3 times a week? It was Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, or was it? I don't even know.
I can't. Yeah, it's all blur.
So many movies, but I ended up doing it multiple times a week throughout I think the month of May, and I would have triple features. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
That's a lot of work.
I didn't even think about this until now, but Jesus Christ, that's a lot of stuff.
And you were working.
I was working. No, this is during the pandemic. This is during the pandemic, so no one was working.
You were working during the pandemic. You were working, weren't you? Didn't you get your job in April?
No, this was the... Maybe it was in March that I'm thinking of then, because it was the last month that I was unemployed, which was the only month I was unemployed, really. Or maybe I was employed, whatever. I'm not going to mumble about those details. But yeah, it was when, you know, we were all kind of, you know, worried about important things. And so I was like, well, I got time and the energy and nothing better to do, so let's all just do something together.
Also, we made 3 short films during the quarantine.
Yeah, the summer, the movie
that was
tent.
Pretty lucrative creatively. I feel like it was creatively lucrative for a lot of people, and I know it was terrible for a lot of people also, but I think a lot of artists just had more time to let the creative juices flow.
Yeah, you know, work can take it out of you.
True.
Regardless of what you do, you know.
Yeah, we just had to get out of the house, so like we're like, okay, let's go to the backyard and make a horror movie. Go in the basement and make a horror movie. Let's go to the local pond or park and make a horror movie. Let's like nothing, not definitely not as good as Better Watch Out. They're like little YouTube clippers, but they were still fun.
Yeah, that's the movie tent for anyone who's listening. We did like a recommendation series. Probably won't bring it back this summer. It's too late, and then we're getting married again in August. So,
yeah, you're right.
Yeah, not doing anything this year, I decided.
Yeah.
Nope.
But, yeah, we got our plates stacked in for a few months out. So, but that's okay. Cause
next year we'll plan for big things.
Yeah. No announcements yet, but we got some things. We got some gears turning. But yeah, guys, anything else to add? Anything, any topics we've not covered for Maurice?
I don't think so. I think we've done pretty well. I just want to encourage more people to just try it. Try it with your friends.
Yeah.
And I do want to say that when I've heard from some of our other members, I don't know everybody there. Some of them are like your groups of friends. As everybody knows, you've got your little pods of, well, these are my friends from here and these are my friends of here, and will they mix okay? Mm. And I think everybody's done pretty well so far. Mm. But some of the people I've met there aren't as well versed in films, and I think some of them have been a little intimidated at first coming in thinking, oh, you know, I haven't seen a lot of movies. And it's tough when you've got a room full of people going, you know, blah blah blah, chat 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 to each other about stuff. It can be kind of like, oh, I don't know if I can handle this, but we are of course very loving and open, and we just want to share. We're very excited. It's no gatekeeping. be like, oh, you haven't seen this. Oh, you're not a film lover. No, you're not.
I hate that.
So it's much. Terrible. And you're never going to get anybody interested in whatever you want to do if you already exclude them because they haven't had the same experience or the opportunities as you.
Yeah.
Gatekeeping is bullshit.
It's terrible.
It's terrible. It's a terrible way to go about things.
Right. Like, don't be too afraid if you haven't seen things, because the only way you're ever going to is by doing it. So as long as you're not with horrible people who aren't mean and terrible about this stuff, like, share it, love it.
Yeah, learn it. That's a good point. This is why I have like very little physical media anymore, because if someone's like, I haven't seen that, and I'm like, here you go. Here you go, you gotta watch this, you know, like, instead of shaming someone for not seeing one of how many millions of billions of movies that are out in the universe. Like, no, just silly.
And again, I've realized that my life is not like many others. My significant other never had cable growing up. So that's like a big chunk of life that's completely different. But then I get to share a lot of that with him. So it's sort of like, oh, look at this thing that I loved when I was 12. Isn't this awesome? Yeah. Or, oh gosh, this didn't age well. I'm sorry.
I do think we had the same childhood.
Yeah, see? So just...
when we were first, I think I brought up Bride of Boogity, I think, for the first time.
You might have.
And then our eyes met and we were just like, oh! Like, that's just one of those solid films from my childhood that I watched over and over and over and over.
And the first one as well. I know you said you've never even seen the first one, right?
No.
This is like Jet Mike never seeing the first Grease, but adamantly loves Grease 2 and still has not seen Grease 1.
You know, I like Grease 2 better now as an adult. I used to love it. But I think it's more fun, to be honest, and less rapey.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Ages a little bit differently. Oh, hello.
But that also came down to like the same thing with you, Katron, as my grandpa recorded off of cable. So that's how I got Bride of Boogity, because he recorded it for my older cousins. Mm-hmm. He recorded all this stuff for my older cousins, and I got all these beautiful gems. Like, I have a great story, actually. It's hilarious. You know, I love my grandpa. He was a wonderful man, but he did like a little bit of the, he liked the ladies. And he liked some, you know, softcore here
and there. Sure.
So there was this Fabled for a long time until I found it. Fabled VHS tape recorded with Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and in the middle of Willy Wonka, there was some sort of error where you can tell he recorded over that, and it was softcore. So you go from like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory to like HBO Poolside, bleach blondes, fake tan, just like, oh, you know, and then it goes right back to Willy Wonka.
The Snyder Cut.
I didn't believe my cousins at all. I didn't believe them until I actually found it in like one of the huge stacks in the basement, and I popped that baby in and I was like, oh.
You know, for some reason, my grandparents labeled the box and not the tape.
Oh, no. Oh, wow.
But that it was only disappointment. I never stumbled upon anybody's softcore prizes, but I'm surprised it didn't happen more often, really, I'm sure.
It
would just be more likely where you put the movie in and you're like, oh, God. And then you see the hundreds of movies there and you're like, no way, I'm finding the one that's the right one.
Yep. I found it.
I also found someone's porn. I also found someone's porn, if we're on this topic.
That's how we're going to end this?
Yep.
Why not?
Perfect.
Mike, you were there because we were doing a used order at the place we worked. And it was a SpongeBob movie case. And I opened it up. And it was not a SpongeBob movie.
Oh.
And I'm like, hey, Mike, come check this out. I'm not sure if we can buy it in the condition it's in. And we lock eyes, smirk, and then you go, nope.
Good God, man.
Like, you don't check when you're going. The answer is no, of course not.
I think. Did you wash your hands immediately after?
Yeah. Scrubbed real hard and then took a shower when I got home.
Yeah.
The only way to survive that, but are you gonna say something, Jenny?
Cool. I don't even remember anymore because that's so funny. Oh God. I think I would have publicly shamed that person and be like, do you know what's in here?
Yeah, you know,
what's in here? Like, I would be totally candid with them.
We've
done the walk of shame.
I remember buying a lot back, but giving back a few, so he could easily have shamed himself when he double checked why we didn't buy stuff. You know, it was a subtle way of letting him know.
You think he's gonna double check? Those people don't double check anything. They just one guy came in and he had the dumpiest collection of crap DVDs I've ever seen in my life, scratched to hell. Some of them weren't even in there. Cases were all broken, like nasty, sticky yuckiness. And he's like, I need gas money to get home after I refused buying any of them. And I'm like, are you serious? That is your story.
We had one person that brought in a huge box. They were all no's. And in the process of telling them, we can't take any of these, we're sorry. And they go, oh, that's what your so-and-so location told me earlier today. And I'm like, you already went to a location to have all these processed? Like, we're not going to be any different, my man. I'm sorry.
And the same system.
Yeah, so, yeah, you're right. You probably didn't check them. So, hey, whatever. So shall we end it on porn, guys? Is this...
Oh, Lord. Happy anniversary, everyone.
Happy anniversary. No, it's been great. Here's the 4 more years. 20 more years.
400 more years. 400
more years. We do have some cool things planned. I teased some announcements today. Probably by the time this comes out, those announcements will be said. But it's gonna be good. We got a good and eventful future on our hands. And I can't wait to see y'all in person again. Watching movies and eating snacks.
I'm gonna squeeze all your cheeks.
Yeah. And since
creepy, like a creepy auntie, just like.
And also, we have an outdoor setup, so now we can be on the go, set up on the beach if we really wanted to. We're all pretty pale, so we probably won't do that. But anyway,
we have a backyard.
We have a backyard. I remember another funny story, not related to porn, that we can probably end on, where foreign rubber docks, you know. We had all been vaccinated by this time. So I threw it out there. Hey, who wants to have like an outdoor viewing party in our backyard? And all of you rightfully pointed out, not these movies, Dave.
Not very old. Even without sound, if your neighbors were to look outside at any point during either burial ground or extra, what would they see? And how soon would the police be there?
Our cute little landlady would actually probably come over and be like, what are you watching? Oh, God.
All of a sudden, we'd look behind us. Every neighborhood kid would be back there with binoculars. Like, okay, all right.
We should also mention that we live behind a church. So that adds an extra layer to this, you know?
I think we should do it just for that reason.
Just point it at the church. Just have it in the church parking lot, you know. But no, this has been great, guys. It's a great celebration. Thank you for joining me and having a great time. It's meant the world. I love you all. This has been great.
Love you, man. Love you, dudes.
Love you, whatever.
I am and continue to be Midnight Dave, and I was joined with
Jenny from the Grave
and Katron
and Jet Mike.
Check out everything we've talked about, articles, videos, whatever. MidnightRomeroSociety.org is the place to be. themidnightcast.com brings you to our page where you can listen to all of our back episodes. Have a great night. Happy anniversary to MRS, and stay scared.